Okay. Okay, the 7th of December 2009 in Gornitai Temple in Kyiv. Fourth Canto, chapter 22, verse 20.
Итак, сегодня мы читаем Шримад-Бхагаватам, 4-ю песню, 22-го года, 20-й текст.
Ом намо Бхагавате Васудевая.
Ом намо Бхагавате Васудевая.
Ом намо Бхагавате Васудевая.
Ом намо Бхагавате Васудевая.
Asteva Rajan Bhavato Madhu Dvisha Padaravindasya Gunanu Vadane Ratir Durapa Vidunoti Naishtaki Kamam Kashayam Malakantaratmana. Sanat Kumara continued. My dear King, you already have an inclination to glorify the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such attachment is very difficult to achieve. But when one has attained such unflinching faith in the Lord, it automatically cleanses lusty desires from the core of the heart. Commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Zatam prasangad mama virya samvido bhavanti rita karna asaya nagatha tadajo sanat asu anapavarga vartmani shradharatir bhaktir anukramishati. Srimad Bhagavatam 3, 25. By association with devotees, dirty things within the heart of a materialistic man are gradually washed away by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As silver becomes shiny by being polished, the heart of a materialistic person is cleansed of lusty desire by the good association of devotees. Actually, the living being has no connection with this material enjoyment, nor with lusty desires. He is simply imagining or dreaming while asleep. But by the association of pure devotees, he is awakened, and immediately the spirit soul is situated in his own glory by understanding this conscious musician is eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Prithu Maharaj was already a self-realized soul. Therefore, he had a natural inclination to glorify the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kumaras assured him that there was no chance of his falling victim to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. In other words, the process of hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord is the only means to clarify the heart of material contamination. By the process of jnana, karma, and yoga, no one will succeed in driving away contamination from the heart. But once a person takes the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord by devotional service, automatically all dirty things in the heart are removed without difficulty.
Но если он укроется во всей его отыскать Господа, став на подлинное служение, его сердце очистится само собой.
Vrindavana Eva Manareti Vasidhubhumota Trapi Krishna Balarama Supada Mule Jnanam Puram Paramay Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandasta Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samasara Dukkha Jaladau Padita Sikama Krodadi Nakramakarai Kavali Kritasya Duravasana Nigaditasya Narasayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mamadehi Badavalampam Jaladara Shashivarno Kopavesha Kishoro Sahachara Gana Vrindai Kridamana Vrjesho Natabara Chittavesho Nilapitam Varadyo Jagadajanana Heto Ramakrishna Nato Asmi Vanchakopatru Bhishcha Kripasana Bhivacha Pridhanam Pavane Bhyo Vishnave Bhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, it's great to be back here. This is actually the first year of my experiment of making my schedule so tight. And the purpose of it is to be in Vrindavan for the auspicious times for devotional service.
Это связано с тем, что я хочу находиться в Вриндаване в приятный период времени для служения.
Because in that atmosphere, I'll be forced to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead more than I'm doing.
Поскольку в атмосфере такого времени я вынужден посвящать больше своего времени, чем обычно, посвящая его вместе с Богом.
Whatever one does, feeble attempts to render service to the Supreme Lord, in your own estimation, it will always remain a feeble attempt. Weak. And it's improvable. So, one may have your individual conditionings, our distractions, and these stop us from going forward. So what's smart is to identify your strengths and identify your weaknesses. And in what situations precisely are you at your best? And what situations you are at your worst? By experience, you see that. So, every one of us can try to maximize their potential by focusing on what's good for Krishna and avoiding our distractions. And any ashram or situation in life, one should strive for purification. So every human being has to make this determination. What do I need to do to improve? And a devotee, although a devotee is naturally humble, as Sri Radha states in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Sri Radha says that a devotee's advancement is calculated in terms of how much greed we have to get Krishna. Now we may feel unqualified for that greed. But the desire to get Krishna remains. So everybody says, yeah, let's make advancement. Yeah, let's try to make advancement. But that means that we should not let things remain as it was before. Devotional service means abhyasana, a concrete application of what you know. I saw in Hitopadesh that knowledge, transfer of knowledge from those who know, the Tattvadarshis, to the subordinates, means a concrete change in the life of the students. That is called education. I was with in Vrindavan, and a devotee helped me find this verse from Hitopadesh. The translation is that just as a clay pot, when it is baked in a fire, cannot change, so similarly, stories has given to make an indelible impression on the consciousness of the living entity.
И так в этом стихе говорится, что подобно тому, как хорошо, не хорошо, уже невозможно как-то отправить, исправить. Точно так же история, которая была поведана ученику, она необратимым образом изменяет его сердце.
If the heart does not change, then we can question, did we learn anything? So we always have constantly have to try to improve. Here we have Sanat Kumara is glorifying Prithu Maharaj for his attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unflinching faith in the Lord cleanses lusty desires. And such attachment is very difficult to achieve. This means that one has to work pretty hard for it. We should know that Krishna, although in his form is Gornatai and others are very compassionate, and they want everybody to come along. Still, it's their nature to try to push their devotees to improve. They are not interested in what you put in front of them. They want what's behind our back. And we have to ask, each and every one of us has to ask ourselves, what am I giving the Lord? If they improve, then it's good. That is what a disciple means. It means self-discipline. Other persons should not discipline you. You should discipline yourself. I always have a very fond recollection. It must have been 1997. I think I was traveling with Niranjan Maharaj in Belarus, and one of his disciples decided to engage in the process of getting married.
И это было в 97 году, когда я путешествовал по Беларуси с моим дорогим Хованом Ропушем Миражем с вами, и один из его учеников там решил жениться.
Now, everything in the material world is relative.
Все в материальном мире относительно.
And everybody has different abilities.
У каждого есть разные степени способности.
Material, spiritual, etc.
Материальные, духовные.
So when you look at somebody, your natural inclination is to judge them against yourself because you don't have anybody else to judge them with.
И разумеется, когда вы смотрите на кого-то, то вы сравниваете с собой, потому что вам не с кем практически больше сравнивать.
So when I looked at that disciple of Maharaj, I thought, if I was in his shoes, I could never do what he's doing, what he's trying to do.
И когда я увидел этого ученика нашего Махараджа, я подумал, будь я на его месте, я никогда на это не решился.
Of course, it doesn't mean that they will not succeed.
Но это не значит, что, разумеется, это не значит, что он не может быть успешным.
Because Krishna promises that Tesham Nityavayog Dhanam, Yoga Kshema Mahamiham, those who are engaged in my worship, I carry what they lack, I preserve what they have. So if Krishna wants to bless that devotee with ability, then they can certainly succeed. So, in the beginning, almost everybody would say, oh, he is spaced out, or she is spaced out, they'll never make it. And when they succeed, we go, oh, they have qualities we didn't see. Or some devotees think, wow, Krishna's really kind. If they can succeed, then, wow, that's pretty good, you know? I remember one godbrother who's no longer on the planet.
He was my elder brother.
So, you know, the younger brother, you know, they pick on you, you know. They make fun of you, they ride you, you know, they give you trouble. They, you know, deride you, you know, like that. It's just their nature, right?
Younger brothers.
Elder brother always rides on the case of the younger brother, you know. So I remember in 1988 in Mayapur, I had met him and he hadn't seen me for 15 years. Since
73.
So after 15 years, you know, I went my way and he went his way. So when he saw me in Mayapur, he was shocked. You're still in this movement. I thought you would have left long ago. Then, first I was like, you know, it's like insulting, right? You start to think, is that the way you talk with your God brother? You know, you haven't seen him in 15 years. This is how you greet somebody after 15 years. You're still here. Then he went one step further. Well, on second thought, it's good you stayed in the movement because materially you would never make it. Wow! That's even heavier than the first thing. But because I'm internal, you know? 5-10 minutes later, you know, I was thinking about it and I go, you know, maybe he's right. Because not a blade of grass moves without Krishna. The material tendency is to think, why is this happening to me? I don't deserve it. But a devotee thinks, not a blade of grass moves without Krishna. So Krishna must be willing for me to hear all this. So as I thought about it, I thought, you know, Prabhupada saved us, you know, from the material world. I joined when I was 17. I didn't have time to become materially qualified, go to college, get a wife, get a life, you know. I didn't have time for any of that, you know. And when you think, you can't even speculate, what would have happened to my life if I went the other way? You'd have to be really expert, you know, at astrology or something. But then again, even the astrologers told Prabhupada, you'll be wealthy like Birla, and it never happened, you know? Do I have any qualification? No, our qualification is the mercy of devotees. So therefore, when my godmother gave that sarcasm, you know, biting sarcasm, then I thought, yeah, maybe he's right, you know? Yet, everything is relative. Somebody is better than some, worse than others. Relax. No matter how spaced out you may think you are, there's somebody worse than you. So you should have grounds to feel good, right? So I was with Maharaj and I saw this disciple and he was really, 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 really spaced out, you know. I mean, he's a sweet guy, you know, you're affectionate, but he's spaced out, you know. But then I was thinking about that. Well, why am I naturally inclined to be affectionate to this devotee? Do you see yourself reflected in that devotee? Maybe. Atmaiva manate jagat. Everybody has a tendency to see everything in relationship to themselves. But when you look, even somebody, you look at somebody and go, they're never going to make it. They shouldn't even try. So I gave my, you know, damning judgment. This disciple of yours, Maharaj, is really spaced out. Then I asked him, what is your definition of a space case? Yeah. Basket case. A basket case means... basket case means somebody is so invalid, they're not mobile, they cannot walk by themselves, you have to carry them around in a basket. They're so useless, they cannot accomplish anything. You have to carry them in a basket. It's called a basket case, you know. A nut, basically puggle, crazy, you know, fool, you know. basket case. Go before I help him out.
На английском звучит как корзинный человек.
Probably the best thing in Russian would be what? Nesta Doma? So Maharaj, because Maharaj tries to see the good in everyone, right? This is a sadhu. Sadhu means you see the good in everyone, no matter who they are. So he answered, my definition of a basket case is that they are better now than when I saw them 6 months ago.
And I
felt very good. That's wonderful. What a wonderful definition that's very general about all devotees. Different devotees have different grades of ability, but they should be better than they were 6 months ago. And we should foster the atmosphere by which we all, each individually, are empowered to strive to do that. This is called in a book by Bhaktivinoda, Anyaya Sutra, a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He refers to that as a antarmukha shishya, a devotee that is internally facing. The name of the book is called Amnyaya Sutra. Antarmukha shishya. Antarmukh, meaning you are looking, your face is looking inward. You're very thoughtful. You don't see things externally, you look things internally. Murijan Prabhu, my godbrother, used to joke that it's like this. You know, when you point an accusative finger at somebody. This means you have three fingers more pointed back to you, more constructively criticism than you are criticism of somebody pointing. So that's the idea. Devotional service is very rare. But pure devotional service, that's much rarer still. The pure devotional service means to think of Krishna all the time, to always act for Krishna's pleasure all the time. And it means always striving for perfection. When you do that, then that purifies you. So this is the idea. So we should try to become polished by our loving devotional enthusiasm. By association with our godbrothers, you say, Our God brothers are striving so hard to love Krishna and serve Krishna much better. They love Krishna much more than me. Their love is so bright, and what is my love in comparison? So by the example of the devotees, we improve? And what's interesting is Krishna in the heart, He wants us to improve. So He shows us specific verses in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam places that you just happen to say just the right thing for your personal purification. And He just happens to put you in the situation where you start to think that, gee, maybe I'm deserving this? Maybe Krishna's trying to tell me a message? Like Prabhupada, when he's writing in Vrindavan Bhajan, his book, his work, his poetry, he wrote in Vrindavan in 1959. It's called Vrindavan Bhajan. And it is translated now by the BBT. He says, I sit alone in Vrindavan and I laugh. I have my wife, my children, and everything. But seeing me penniless, unable to support them, they have rejected me and as useless. And I'm sitting here in Vrindavan and laughing. And Prabhupada quotes the shloka from 10th canto, 88th chapter, verse 8. I think it says 8, but it's actually 8 through 11. When I am very merciful to somebody, I take away everything they've got. This way, their family members and relatives consider them to be useless. When they're unsuccessful in the material world, then they take shelter of me only. And that's when I give my special mercy. I will give them. Krishna says, I give them my special mercy. Now, take that statement. Compare it to Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 6. Which is shloka 42, 44, 45. The unsuccessful yogi, they take birth in the family of brahmanas or rich merchants. Suchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Abhijayate. Unsuccessful yogis in the next birth, they take birth as merchants, children of merchants, wealthy men, or brahmanas to continue their spiritual life. So compare, there are different levels of reciprocation. Who got greater mercy? Think about it. is it, there are two situations. One situation from 10th canto, 88th chapter, 8 through 11. You were all right in your material world. Your business failed. Your family kicked you out. And you cried out to Krishna and you laughed about it. One situation.
Где вы были успешны в материальном мире, потом вы потерпели крах, вам крутились, семья отвергла вас, вы остались один, но вы приняли прибежище у Кришны, и вы смеетесь над всем, что с вами произошло.
And the other one is, you're unsuccessful, you died, and you took birth in either a wealthy merchant family or a Brahmin family to continue. So, what is your conclusion? Who got the most mercy? Somebody want to volunteer an answer?
Тот, кто потерял все и радуется, найдя прибежище в Кришне,
the more fortunate who lost everything, but take shelter of Krishna and love him.
Yeah, he's right. Because you're stopping taking birth again. It's like the story of Ajamila. Ajamila, in the sixth canto, chapter 1 through 3, he was a very sinful person, born in a Brahmin family, but he became corrupted and sinful. And by hearing, he named his child Narayana. And he died chanting the name of Narayana. And then the Yamadutas wanted to steal him, and the Vishnuduta said no, and there was a whole conversation between the two, what constitutes religious principles, and Ajamila was in the middle, and he heard the whole conversation, and was purified by the conversation. The BBT has that book called Second Chance. So he went to Himalayas and he continued devotional service and gave up his body and went back to Godhead. The second point is that if you take birth again, just because you take birth in a wealthy family, we see many children of wealthy families are spoiled rotten. Just like, you know, the Vaishnavas, humble householder Vaishnavas always want people to bless their child, but the parents are what's blessing the child. So we tell them, yeah, whether your child will be a devotee or not, we don't know. But what's guaranteed? There'll be a burglar, they'll pick your pocket, that's guaranteed, you know. That's for sure. So we see that sometimes kids are like that. A child of a devotee is not necessarily a devotee.
Huh?
Just because you're born in a Brahmin family doesn't make you a Brahmin. You have to follow in the footsteps. You have to be trained. You have to show samskara, means you have to show inherent quality. The child has to prove themselves above and beyond what the parents give them. Or a wealthy family, like I said, wealthy families, sometimes children are spoiled rotten. We see that in big cities. Just like the joke in Sanskrit, Jiva Goswami quotes in Bhakti Sandarbha. Rajaputra Chiranjiva, O son of the king, may you live forever. Because the logic is that the king's son is very loose guy, you know, and very big sense enjoyer. So please live forever, don't die, because as soon as you die, all that's over. Muniputra Mahajiva, O son of the sage, please die immediately. Oh, you're taking so much austerity, you know, following in the footsteps of your parents, living austerely. Why you should take so much trouble? Just leave this world and obtain your goal of the supreme world. Jivova Murava Sado. Oh, saintly person, you, whether you live or whether you die, doesn't matter. Same thing. Vyada, O butcher, Mahajiva, Mahamara, don't live and don't die either. Your occupation is very hellish, so please don't die, because you'll really suffer. Don't die either, because after you suffer, you're going to suffer much worse, you know. So in the material world, it's a very dangerous place. It is better, we get realization, we have to suffer some difficult situation in life, and we have to suffer, and we get realization, and we take shelter of Krishna at the end. That's well and good. Somehow or other, we should try to put our life in such a way that we'll be forced to remember Krishna.
Тем или иным способом должны построить свою жизнь так, оставить такую ситуацию, такое положение, в котором мы будем вынуждены помнить о Кришне.
But every moment our life is tested.
Но жизнь испытывает нас каждое мгновение.
We make our plans to serve Krishna, but whether we'll genuinely serve Krishna or not, by those plans, almost every day we will be tested.
Но мы строим планы относительно того, как нас служить Кришне. Но искренне мы или нет, каждый день жизнь нас будет испытывать.
So you may ask, how do we pass the test?
Вы можете спросить, как же пройти испытание?
Харидас Такур gave the key.
И Харидас Такур дает одну подсказку.
Чайтанья Чаритамрита Антия Лила, chapter 3, verse 137.
137-й текст, 3 главы Антилила.
Нирантара нам лао, кара тулу си сивон, ачарет павитабар Кришна рачарон. Chant Krishna's name constantly with your hands served Tulsi Devi. Very quickly you'll get Krishna's lotus feet. Jiva Goswami describes her quality as Sprishtavapu Pavani, to purify. By touching her, are we become purified? What that means is purify you from your wretched, low-class bodily existence. It's wonderful. There is nothing that she cannot help you get. Whatever aspiration you want in relationship to Krishna, there's nothing that she cannot help you get. There is no fault in the material world that she cannot remove. She can destroy any fault that you have in the material world. Whatever you want to achieve for serving Krishna in this world, she can help you achieve it. Who would be so stupid as to not take shelter of somebody who can help you get your job done? The answer is probably us, because we don't take shelter of what's good for us all the time. Fortunately, just like Krishna is situated everywhere, so Krishna's spouse, Krishna's Shakti, like Tulsi, like that, Krishna's consorts, they're situated everywhere. You invoke their name and they come. If we take shelter of them, then they'll give us shelter. They can help us achieve everything. Yet what they want to do is they're waiting for us to use our independent volition. Will we take shelter of them or not? So I've started on this year, this tour, which will end in shelter in Vrindavan at her lotus feet. So we asked all the devotees blessings that we can be successful in this tour. So far, so good. But every endeavor will be tested, probably daily. We could use or misuse our time every single day, every single moment. And only after some time will we become steady. Nishtha Bhakti means to attain this steadiness, where you are dependably steady. Nishtha Bhakti means dependably steady.
What does dependent
mean? Meaning you can depend on it. Every single day they're the same, they're steady, they're reliable.
Nishtha Bhakti означает, что мы постоянно стабильны.
Like it was described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Anti Leela 6, that the activities of Raghunath Das Goswami were just like the lines on a stone. They could not be changed. We have many different situations that happen to us in our life. And that's true. But we should be prepared for all of them. When our situation is like this, how are we going to react for Krishna Godhead? In every one of our situations, we should have a scenario ready for it. Because unless we prepare, we're not going to start fighting our distractions. The main thing here in this verse is that Prithu Maharaj is attached to the lotus feet of the Lord and serving them. He has a taste. Prithu Maharaj has got taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. For glorifying Krishna. And it's very rare. And we should follow it. But following it also means not only we glorify Krishna, but we maximize the utilization of our time. That is described in Madhya Leela chapter 23, verse number 19. I believe it's either 12, shloka 12 or shloka 19. This is the definition, Rupa Goswami gives the definition of Bhava Bhakti. One of them is Abhyartha Kalatvam. They don't waste their time. Sada Nama Gana Ruchi. They always have a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pritistad Vasati Stale. They want to stay where the Lord had his pastimes. Guna Akhyane, and they hear and chant about the glories of the Lord. Krishna says in Brahma Samhita. Right. After Brahma gives his prayers, at the end, Krishna gives five shlokas of concentrated bhakti. And he describes how to get the highest level of bhakti. This is shloka 59. Pramanais tatsadacharais tadabhyasai nirantaram. The highest level of devotion is attained by three levels. The help of scriptural evidence, pramana. Tatsadacharais, and theistic conduct, meaning sadachar means good devotional service. Tatsadacharais. Tadabhyase nirantaram, and practicing that all the time. Those three things act to give you intelligence. Imbued with devotion. Intelligence imbued with devotion. Bodhayan Atmanatmanam. You get the brains how to offer yourself to Krishna. Bhakti Mahapitamam Labet. Therefore you'll achieve the highest level of Bhakti, Krishna says.
Well,
we should strive for that. Hare Krishna. Where's everybody else? Where did everybody go?
There is some educational program in Vaishnava Academy.
Which does mean they're somewhere else. Where is that? They're elsewhere in the building, or they're elsewhere in the city?
On the next
All right. Questions now?
There are questions.
Вы говорили о том, что наши как бы доброжелатели, в частности Куласидеви, ждет наших каких-то поступков как-то более подробно. Могли бы вы эту тему раскрыть?
You said that our wishers, let's say Tulsidevi, they are waiting until we will take shelter of them. Could you explain?
We have our independence. We'll serve Krishna or not. They're just waiting for us to say, what are we going to do? They're patient. They're always available for us. We're not running to them. They said, sure, I got no objection. You're not running to me. So, you know, if you run to me, I can give you shelter, but I'm just waiting for you, you know? When one devotee asked Prabhupada, how come Maya, the illusory energy, is so strong? Prabhupada answered, because your purpose is not strong enough, that's why. If you identify what is actually in your interest, we should do that. If you identify what is good for you, then you'd be stupid not to do it. Yeah, there's so many missed opportunities. When you actually do something wonderful and you say, wow, this is nice, you know, let the kirtan roll all the time, let the service roll all the time. Why does this happen all the time? Because I don't do it all the time. That's why. I remember my godbrother Visvajana Swami used to refer to it as a causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna. Basically, it means donkey mentality. You know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays like that in one bhajan, the Gopinath bhajan, that my dear Lord, the illusory energy is putting a collar around my neck. Please, you know, drag me to you, you know, so that I can cross this horrible ocean of birth and death.
What?
Collar. Strangling me. The illusory energy is strangling me. Okay. The answer is, we don't take shelter of it. It's our fault, not their fault. Which means whatever good we see in devotional life or whatever nice, we just need to do more of that, that's all. Okay, other questions?
Huh?
explain what do you mean to take shelter? What should we do concretely?
The Sanat Kumara said 50% perspiration and 50% ashraya. If you don't do the perspiration for her, you'll never know who she is.
Что 50% тяжелого труда, 50% ашрая преданности. Если вы не готовы тяжело трудиться для Тулуси Махарани, тогда вы никогда не поймете, кем он является на самом деле.
It's actually described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what concept, there are 9 processes of serving her. Drishti, seeing her. Sprishti, touching her. Tatadhyata, contemplating her. Kirtita, chanting her glories. Namita, chanting her names. Stuti, offering prayers. Ropita, growing her or tending to her growth so that she grows very luxuriously. Sevita Nityam, serving her daily according to need. Pujita, and worshipping her. These are the aspects. It's not just simply flowery words. Just like when Sanat Kumara said perspiration, it means get to work. Just like sportsman or exercise, you work until you sweat. This is called exercise, you know? But it's not just simply work mechanically. No, it's work with devotion. Who are you working for? When you actually take shelter of her to chant Hare Krishna, to read Shastra and things like that, then you see, wow, in her company it is actually more potential than if I do it outside of her company.
И когда вы принимаете в нем прибежище во время повторения святого имени, когда читаете шастры, тогда вы можете почувствовать разницу между тем, как вы совершаете эту деятельность в ее тени и если делаете это в каком-то другом месте.
Devotional service means you have to taste it. Prabhupada used to say, like, just like if you cannot speculate on what does honey taste like, you have to open up the jar, you have to stick your finger in there, and then you try it. Huh, now I know what honey is like, you know? So when you ask, how do you do it? This means we have no experience. Do it. Then as you do it, then you get more and more experience, you'll get more and more realization, and you'll understand the sweetness. When you actually get off your rear and do it.
И это значит, что вы спрашиваете, как это делать, это значит, что у вас нет опыта. Поэтому нужно засучить рукава и начать что-то делать. И из своей практической деятельности вам придет больше и больше понимания, осознания и так далее. То есть нужно оторваться от своего кресла и начать что-то делать.
Actually, she can do everything. She can do everything.
На самом деле, она может делать все, что угодно.
We just have to take shelter of her and serve her and take her company, and she can do everything. But just like a child is not inactive, the parents want the child to be active, so we must be active, but she will help us be devotionally active.
активность, вел жизнь точно так же. И она поможет нам во всем, во всех наших начинаниях, но мы должны проявить какую-то активность.
Okay. Another questions?
Еще вопросы?
Да.
Насчет деятельности, просто большая часть лекции, она описывает настроение, когда ты уже стабилен, уверен в своей деятельности, ты стабильно движешься, что помогает от этого развития
процесса. About activity, most part of the lecture was dedicated to the level of nishtha, stable condition of the devotee, and how can we get this stable condition, stability?
I just told in the shloka. The shloka is Brahma Samhita, shloka 59. That is stable. I also quoted from Haridas Thakur, Ankit 3, 137. That's stable. Right. There's so many verses in Bhagavatam that describe stability.
You ask how to get this.
You do it. You read those shlokas, you think about it, you understand it, and you do it. Then you become stable. If you don't do it, you do not become stable. You got to get off of talking about it, and you got to get into doing it. Get off your ass and do it. The shlokas are there. We have to. The Sanskrit cannot be wrong. The Bengali cannot be wrong. The words of our acharyas cannot be wrong. We have to apply them concretely in our life. Then we'll see. Man, that's what it means, you know.
Yeah,
during the time.
То, что там написано, применить на своей жизни, когда вы увидите, как она работает.
Okay. Yeah.
Иногда преданные говорят о том, что хороший слуга – это тот, который не просит господина, да, предоставить ему какие-то условия для служения. А тот, кто как бы сам все-таки пытается сделать то, о чем его просят. Вот. Но с другой стороны, также да, везде мы можем видеть, что также ачарьи говорят о том, что мы должны молить Господа о том, чтобы Он нам помог, ну, дал силы, дал решимость, дал понимание того, как Ему служить наилучшим образом. Так как же мы должны делать? Мы должны молить Его о помощи при этом служении, мы все-таки должны сами.
Often the senior devotees say that good servant should not ask his master to give him some facilities for service. A good servant should himself to figure out how to render service to his master. But another way, we should ask Krishna for determination, for some qualities, for devotional service. So what is right, what is wrong? Should we ask Krishna
both,
about something?
Both.
Правильно то и другое. О чем-то мы должны просить, о чем-то мы не должны просить.
Prabhupada told my god sister about when she asked him questions about serving Tulsi, he asked, use your brains. If you have none, ask others who do. So, in one sense, a servant has to understand the heart. A first-class servant understands the heart of the master and does the service without being asked. But most other servants have to be told what service is good for them to do for the master. And then if they do that, then that's successful. So both are true.
Хороший слуга, он обычно знает настроение своего хозяина, и он делает то, что необходимо, даже когда ему не просят. Остальным же необходимо говорить, каким служением нужно заниматься. Поэтому это другое дело.
At least initially, in the beginning, you have to be told.
So both.
A first-class servant understands the mind of the master and does not need to be told. They just do it. Second class servant, you tell him, he does it. Third class servant, you tell them they may do it, they may not do it. Fourth class servant, you tell them they don't do it. The fifth class servant, there's no question of asking. Okay. Yes. Got other questions?
I can't understand the connection between Krishna Katha and lusty desires. How Krishna Katha removes lusty desires?
Because you're focusing the mind on Krishna, and therefore you're entering the mode of goodness and going beyond the mode of goodness. And lusty desires is the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion.
И поскольку если человек сосредотачивает свой ум на представлениях о Кришне, тогда он поднимается в Буду благости и превосходит Буду благости. А хотел желания, они связаны с Буду бесстрастия и невежества.
That's described in Nectar Devotion.
Об этом говорится, рассказывается в Нектаре Премости.
That's also described in 16th chapter, verse number
3.
Right. And Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Mama maya duratiya mame vaye prapadyante maya me tam tarantite. The material entry is very difficult to cross, but by serving me, you cross it.
Очень сложно преодолеть влияние этой моей материальной энергии, но тот, кто предался мне, легко выходит на свободу.
This the basically fourth canto, chapter 22, verse 29 is the famous verse quoted in this connection. No, let's see, 422? Is it 429:22? Oh, I've seen it. I thought it was 422. 422:29. Maybe it is. It's a famous. Nah, it's not Prachetibari. It's not Kumara. Sanat Kumara is speaking. The verse is Parapara Pankaja Pilasa Pilasa Bhaktya. Let me look it up here. Karmasayan Raditam Udgradayanti Shantaha Tadabana Naripta Matayo Yatayo Pirudha Shrotro Ganas Tamaranam Bhajavasa Devam. Tvat. See, I'll look it up. Parapara Pankaja Raja. Tvatapada Pankaja Raja. Hmm. Pada Pankaja Palasa Vilasa Karmasya Gradhatam Karmasya Gradhatam Udagradayam Tishantha Tadvan 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 Narikta. This is 249 says here. 249. 39. It's 22:39. Yeah, there we are. 2:4:22:39. That's where I made the mistake. I was looking at 29 when I should have been looking at 39. Yes, read that translation. 4:22:39. Right. Famous verse. This is a famous verse. It's not famous.
Это знаменитый стих, который принес Санат Кумара. Преданный, который неустанно служит пальцем Будхи Святого Господа, с легкостью разрубает другие узлы желаний, связанные с кармической деятельностью. Что же касается непреданных, гьяни и йогов, то хотя они и пытаются остановить волны материальных желаний, сделать это так трудно, что все их попытки оканчиваются неудачей. Поэтому последуй нашему совету и занимайся преданным служением Кришне, Сыну Васудеве.
There's another verse in 10th canto, chapter 90.
Так, в 90-й главе 10-й песни также есть хороший стих.
It says that by hearing the pastimes of the relationship with Krishna and the gopis,
там говорится, что слушая игры Кришны с гопи,
then all the hard-knotted, lusty desires in the heart become destroyed. It's also okay. Orkia, any other questions? Any other burning question before we stop?
What is the purpose to memorize shlokas? What it gives us?
To protect you, to protect us, to serve Krishna. There's so many reasons. To use it in your service. To help you remember Krishna. To serve other devotees by giving it to them. Krishna comes in that pramanam, whenever you're in trouble, to save you, to protect you. Да.
But shlokas didn't help Ajamila because he tried to contemplate, recall the shastras and so on, but he couldn't.
No, you don't get it.
What do you mean they didn't get?
No. Yeah. The thing is this, it shows that association is very important. Not only you have to have Shastra Pramanam, but you have to have Tatsadacharais. I quoted the shloka from Krishna's mouth. Krishna's own mouth.
Но дело в том, что недостаточно только изучать шастры, да, как я уже цитировал из Прахма Санкхиты, то, что говорит
Pramanais tatsadacharais tadabhyasai nirantaram. Krishna spoke it directly. This means Ajamila, he tried to do it, but the defect in him, he was not doing tatsadacharais, and neither was he doing tadabhyasai nirantaram. So he could not, because he was not doing two of the things, he was deficient in two of the things that Krishna told him. Therefore, he could not remember the pramanam. Tadabhyasai nirantaram. He was not doing tadabhyasai nirantaram, neither was he doing tatsadacharais. Because he was not doing those two things, he was not able to remember the pramanam.
Tadasadacharas means right behavior.
Right behavior. He was doing wrong behavior. Luckily for him, the holy name helped him out.
But other than that, we shouldn't imitate that.
Но на самом деле нам не стоит подражать ему.
He was walking on very thin ice, you know.
Он проскользнул по самому краю.
We should not imitate that. But when you analyze what Krishna said, how you get perfection, and when you see how he had difficulty, you can see where he was deficient. Based on his deficiency, therefore the Yamadutas wanted to arrest him.
И из-за вот этих тех недостатков, которые у него были в практике,
But because he chanted the holy name desperately, therefore he was freed from his troubles. And therefore the Vishnudutas said, you have no jurisdiction to arrest him.
Но поскольку он успевал в отчаянии святое имя, и Вандуты не смогли его взять, и Вишнуду сказали, что он не принадлежит вашей юрисдикции.
It's to underline the potency of the holy name.
Эта история в основном подчеркивает силу святого имени.
But it doesn't give us any right to fall down like Ajamila did.
Но это не дает нам права следовать пути падения Аджамилы.
Right? Have I clarified the point?
Понятно, я объяснил.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Большое спасибо всем.
Потом.
Потом.
He can come privately.
Yeah.
Yeah. More of the same.